The views expressed on AM360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Share Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.
You have listened to us over 500,000 times. American Muslim 360.
That's interesting.
Assalamu alaikum. This is
Al-Islam-based conversations and financial literacy equals financial liberation, which equals a natural mating and marrying of faith and finance. This program dares to do the unthinkable, and all you need is imagination, faith, and a dream. Welcome to the team. These two programs are a preview of the promised inheritance and thought-provoking journey, putting us in front of a new set of information which guarantees different and desired results. It is part science and part art, as it moves from the head to the heart, two separate but equal parts. Balance, an ideal that only the wise seek. If this is for you, you've come to the right place. And now, Imam Nazim Pasha.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Nazim Pasha, and we're back with Financial Literacy Equals Financial Liberation. If you were on previously, you were hearing our Al-Islam-based conversations, and you also heard that I'm back after a two-week hiatus of sorts. We talked about the four R's, you know, relax, don't come back rusty, and having a routine. Is what would allow that to happen, and because you can get into a rut when you have time on, old habits will creep up, and they'll come and get in the way of what you're trying to do and who you're trying to be and where you're trying to go, and you won't arrive, at least maybe not on time. Hopefully it won't derail the whole process. Sometimes it does, believe me. That's the struggle. There's a saying in the business that I'm in, dream, struggle, victory. That's how it works. If you're not winning the fight for what you want, you're probably not going to get it. Because sometimes it's a fight. It's a struggle. It's a challenge. It's not easy. If it's easy, everybody would do it. Everybody would have it. So all that's true about what we're saying. We're not saying it to intimidate you or to make you not want to do it. Once we get aware of that, and we welcome it. We realize that we have to have the muscle up to do it, and once we muscle up, we can do it. These questions come up for this program. It's going to be a standard thing for us to introduce it because, as I mentioned in the earlier program, it's not about me. This is not me trying to be a message. This is not me trying to tell you what to do as it relates to your finance. This is asking you to ask yourself, where are you wanting to go financially, and are you in a vehicle that's going to take you there? Where are you on the path for financial literacy, and how much do you know? And how much do you think you know? And how much do what you know is not so true anymore? You know? So you don't have to answer. You don't have to ask all those questions. But here's one question I do ask you to ask for yourself. That in the scheme of things, if time and money was not an option, would be the lifestyle that you would live? If time and money was not an option, what would be the lifestyle that you live? So what we try to help you do is, first of all, you define the affordable lifestyle that you want presently and in the future, and you see if what we're sharing can help you get it. That's it. You got everything to gain and nothing to lose. And anytime you ask me a question or you call in or you I get the information in front of you, and you don't know, and I don't know, I will say, I don't know. But I do know somebody who does. That's one of the benefits of what we offer with financial literacy, is that we don't claim to know it all. But whatever you decide you want to do, more than likely somebody's already done it. We do know that. I'm talking about just flat-footed. You know it, and I know it. Pretty much nothing, not too much new under the sun. Now, there's advancements of what we already know taking place all the time. But we really can't call it new. It's never, you know, what? Yeah, it's original. It's authentic. But it was coming. And we built on what we already knew, K-N-E-W. And then when we get to a little further down the road with it, then we call it new. But somebody already knew something. You know, the electrical car that we're so proud of, and Tesla and hybrids and all that, and all the cars that we drive, they've been around. They just didn't get the popularity. They got side blocked or blocked by the gas people, automotive people. But it's been here. And one of the things that I have the dubious distinction to remind us, because I got reminded, cloning is not new. You say, what's it got to do with financial literacy? Well, it has a lot to do with financial literacy, because it costs so much to be healthy nowadays. You know, if you really looked around, it costs so much. Now, when I say cost, I'm not talking about per se it costs, the price of health is went up to your health if you're not healthy. If you have to go to one of these doctors and get some medicine or get some operation, you know, they keep tagging with this affordable health care, Obamacare, whatever you've been told about it and whatnot, you see? And I don't want to go off on a tangent on this, so I'm going to make it short. But that is a challenge. So it's very expensive to stay healthy, price-wise and also risk-wise. Nothing wrong with getting old. Getting old has a problem because we lose some of the things that we have associated with health when we get older. It begins to deteriorate, and we live in to take, we have to choose between our medicine and our food. And we definitely lose our lifestyle. But I wanted to go back to something that was reminded me of something that's going on, has been going on, and it's reached the level that it's reached because we forgot about it. And that's cloning. 504, I'm going to come to you as soon as I make this statement. So, and that's cloning. The GMO community, and I don't know any other people who are leading it more so than Monsanto, maybe some other people, I'm sure they are, to be made aware that you're eating GMO products, or you have to discover that you might not be, the label might not reflect that this is a non-GMO product. But two observations before I come to 504. I want to make it known. My little limited history as a growing up in this country, I don't remember ever encountering a seedless watermelon that wasn't red. It was pink, and you didn't have seeds. I remember red watermelons with black seeds that you needed to grow more watermelons. Now we have seedless watermelons. Not only do we have seedless watermelons, we have seedless grapes. And I'm saying all that to say this one last thing. I forget what year it was. I would say 20 years ago, maybe in the 80s. I forget when it was. But the world was informed that we had somebody, some scientist, I don't even know who got great credit for it, but we had produced Molly, a cloned calling Molly. I know it'll jog, Dolly, excuse me, will jog your memory. No more talk after that. Does that mean that they stopped doing it? No, they're doing it to death now. China is one of the biggest in the GMO industry. You show them something and they'll replicate it. They make everything, a lot of things that are just artificial. Artificial intelligence is dominating. Alexa's where it is. Google this, Google Assistant. Go up in the clouds, and on and on and on. He asked me again, what does this got to do with financial literacy? If you're going to join the lifestyle that they're promoting or not join it, you need the resources to do it or not do it. If you don't have them, you're at the mercy of circumstances. This is a fact. This is not me. Oh, downer. Oh, bummer. Baby mom, don't tell us that. Life is going to tell you that. When we go to the car dealer, the house, the retail store, the merchandise store, the first thing we do is we concern ourselves with the price to see if it's affordable. How much is this? The first thing we do, we look at that label. Maybe we're looking for the size, and then the next thing we're going to look for, how much is it? And you know if you're in a certain store, it's going to be a certain price. You can't go into the store. You know if you're talking about a certain car and they call it a luxury car. You know if you're looking at a certain house and a certain square footage of that house or a certain zip code, you know where you're at. That tells you that you're just window shopping for the car, for the house, for the clothes, for the shoes. And I'm saying that's your stop, but only you and I can stop it. Okay, here we go. We're coming to 504. State your name and where you're calling from and whether you have a question or a comment.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Vidal from New Orleans, Louisiana. Alhamdulillah. I would like for all of us to be more appreciative for what we have been blessed by Allah, and also that everybody go along natural lines. We go on, do what we got to do. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you, my brother.
Thank Allah.
Well, you know, that's what we say, a hint to the wise is sufficient. You know, we don't have to elaborate in on what my brother Bilal said. I think you could hear it in his voice. Our testimony comes a lot from maybe a test we're going through or maybe a test we've been through. And so when we hear and we ask Allah that he pray for us and we pray for him, Allah answers prayers for people who are in situations or headed towards situations. You know, like I said before, life, it is that. It unfolds. If you don't understand that, you need to understand that life unfolds. We're whatever portion of the way through this day, today, August the, what is it, the 5th? That day is headed toward a destiny. And it's unfolding moment by moment. It ain't all at once. Sun came up gradually, and ever since then, it's been on a chart. Thing we need to understand about it is the design. What's going on? What is happening? It's a process. See? And once we understand the process that it is, we can better position ourselves to either take advantage of it and not be at the mercy of it, you know. And just a quick definition here. I got this book, and I told you about it. I'm going to say it again. Success is not an accident. It has a green start button on it, and it says, change your choices and change your life. Tommy Newberry, highly recommend it. It's not right up there with the, you know, whatever. But if you want to understand something about the process of success, Allah has blessed him to nail it in a very simplistic way and to have a proven track record. You know, you have to deal with people who have fruit on the tree, not just gray hairs in their head and gray in their beard. That's great. That means you are older than maybe me or whatever. But you're not necessarily wiser or stronger. I found that on this journey that you can start strong, but you have to stay strong. If you start getting weak in the knees, if you start having, you don't have the heart, you don't have the gumption to get up and go to dawn, you might not be the person for the job. Be the one I need to call on. Because you're gray, you're old, you're older, you know. But there's a difference between getting old and growing old. And I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm saying that so the emphasis can be heard, so you can hear what it is, so you can understand what you have to do. We can't just get old. You grow old. My grandmother said it very good to me very early when I was young. You have to grow old gracefully. What does that mean? You're embracing everything that happens all along the way. Okay. All right. So that's what I got on my plate today. I'm not running. I ain't scared. I ain't running from it. I ain't running from death. It's going to happen. What I have to happen before it happens, I have to be ready to get prepared to get the blessings that I receive because I gave something to life. I didn't take. I wasn't here to get nothing. I'm here to give something. We're not getting skills. I'm not here to talk about financial literacy so I can wear a badge. I'm here to share whatever I learned about financial literacy so you can get something from your finances that you couldn't get before. I've been blessed. I want to share my blessing. For those who have been blessed, for those who are, you know, blessed, much is required. I want the audience to grow from 1 to 1,000 people. Not for me. So you can take control of your life in a way that you haven't done before financially. That's my prayer. I pray, Allah, that this audience grows, not only just on the radio, but the audience that says, I'm tired of being behind the eight ball financially. I'm tired of waking up to debt. I'm tired of being someone else's asset. So that's what happens. When we get sick and tired of being sick and tired, when we get dissatisfied enough, when we're not complacent, when we're not just complaining, when we're not just satisfied with the powers that be and the forces that are controlling your life, then you get up and do something. Up until that time, you get up and go, might have got up and gone. Well, you know. And you make observations that are really excuses. Too old, and it's so hard, and it's uphill. Every mountain is uphill. Every mountain starts with the first step of climbing it. Not looking up and, oh, my God, look at how many. Don't look up. If you look up, it's because you're getting ready to get up and get started. That's the outlook you should have about looking up. It shouldn't just be a physical activity. Like Muhammad Ali said about counting. Don't count. Do what counts. He said a similar thing. He said, when you're making a step towards something, don't look. One, two, step one, two, three. If it's 10 steps, take the 10. One, two, three, four, five. Before you know you're there. You get to that destination and you're ready to make the next 10 steps in the right direction to the next destination. So what does that mean? You should always be destiny and direction orientated. I'm going somewhere. I'm about something. Isn't that a good way for your family to get introduced to you? To let them know we're about something. Shahids, we're about something. Muhammad's, we're about something. Ali, we're not just in name only. We're not just showing up expecting something. We're getting ready to give something. We're getting ready to give it our all. We're getting ready to give it our best. That's what should be the spirit in your house. That should be the Muslim spirit. That should be the Islamic spirit. That should be the human spirit. Because I say so? No. It's an invitation. You accept the invitation and you extend it to others. Maybe not even with a verbal invitation. Your presence in the meeting at the fitness club, you are leading by example. And that's what I'm saying financial literacy allows one to do. Financially. That's all. But it is a major component. It's a major piece. And it itself has different components. Literacy is not just, I know how to save. I've been saving when I got a good night, savings and whatnot. It's not just defense. Is offense. And it's also, what do you do about the laws that are made that determine the taxes that you're going to get taxed? You know, I just got my motor vehicle registration renewal. Well, here in North Carolina, tax associated with it. It's a money generating thing. I have to pay them for the spot that I park my car on, the property that I park my car at. I have to pay them for that. If I don't have a car, I have to pay that. But if I have a car or any means of transportation that has to be registration renewed, I have to pay a property tax. You say, well, that's crazy. But for you people, for the people who are there, that's the case, you know. But there's a lot of people up on the East Coast, North, New York, that ain't how they get their tax. They get it another way. But they also, the way that they get it, when you come down here, as far as your car, you register it here because it's even lower than it is there. Catch 22. My point being is that taxes, big pull on your car, on our finances, because it takes 1/3 right off the top. A chick FICA, she don't play. FICA don't play. She get hers before you get yours. State tax, local tax, state tax, and then the federal tax. They get theirs in gross, right? It's two different things. After taxes, now that's what you make, what you really made. But you can talk about, yeah, I make $150 an hour. Okay. How much do you get paid after taxes? See, that's the conversation. Gross net. Then you know what's income. And don't get caught up in, yeah, but I'm going to get that raise in 2 weeks. That's if they current. Stay relevant. We never know what tomorrow holds. So don't base your finances on anything but income. Not if-come. Not stock market. Not rich uncle. Not lottery. Not injury. You know, I got an injury, man. Now I'm going to lay back. I'm getting disability. Not done. Don't stop. Don't go there. Allah gave us what we needed to do what we needed to do, independent of all of those sources. But he also put us in a structure that's going to let those sources put us at their mercy if we let them. Here's an example that seems like it's maybe a stretch. I was talking with my wife about these labels that we get. Oh, she just shy. If you get labeled shy or timid or not good with names, you stay there because you never mastered what it took to be good with names, to not be intimidated by the other person, to have the ability to meet and greet people and feel that you're just as comfortable doing that as you were, you know, or a stranger. As a human being like you, they put their pants on, they put everything on, undergarments and all that, just like you do. They have the same problems that you have, same challenges that you have as your fellow human being. That you've given the power to intimidate you because of some label or some label that they have or some label that you have. Well, I'm just shy. Oh, you know how they are. I got to go downtown and to the courthouse. Oh, Lord. That's a building. They're supposed to serve the public. You are the public. You go into the building and you get the service you need as a public. You're a taxpaying person. You're this and that. You're a citizen of the United States. On and on and on. You qualify to get what's in the building and get the service that you're supposed to get from the people in the building. But if you've given the power to the people, to the building, and the people in the building, you're not going to get it. You're going to be reluctant to pick up the phone. I should call and tell them. No, you should have called yesterday and told them that. Now, once again, I'm not trying to beat anybody up. This is not the beat down conversation. This is not down about finances. This is a new time. It's a new day. But once again, you and I make that decision. We choose to make it a new day. If we don't choose it to make it a new day, it's going to be business as usual. There's going to be the haves and the have-nots. And it's not going to be because it's that way. It's because we haven't made the choices. We've been put in these little boxes, ceilings, and we don't think outside of the box. Everything you're hearing right now, presently, is because of my thinking. I'm doing exactly what the leadership told us to do. I've done it for 40-some-odd years. Think about your thinking. And if you have stinking thinking, it's time to put it to rest. Time to throw it out the window. Time to get rid of it. If you have friends who have stinking thinking, it's time to get some new friends. You don't have to get rid of them old ones. It's time to get some new ones. And based it on, not that we go a long way back. If you're looking for a mate or you have a mate, it should not just be physical. It should not just be that they're good to you, but they're also good for you. They bring out the best in you. You all are a team. Teamwork to make the dream work. Happy wife, happy life. All of that's good maxims to help you get some kind of perspective about how it should go. Part of it that we talked about is compatibility. Two major crimes can be committed by the mouth. What goes in, what comes out. Garbage in, garbage out. Be concerned with what you put in your mouth. Concerned with what comes out of your mouth. Are you building people up or are you putting them down? Are you positive or are you negative? Are you accepting or are you condemning? You see? Are you problem solving or are you complaining? But really not least, and not even last of this conversation, but there's another thing that a part of us that we have to be concerned with. And it goes all back to the voodoo. But, you know, but the other thing is, what are we listening to? Who do we listen to? You see? Who has our ear? What message goes in and goes right to our subconscious is laying there on unattended or unaddressed or unremoved. You know, there's some things you learn and then some things you gotta unlearn. We always believe something or we were told this and early on and in our youth and in our primal state and we brought it with us moving forward. And it's not a progressive thought. It's not positive self talk. It's not true. It's a lie. How many people are living a lie? How many people are more in touch with the trick than the truth? We've been tricked into believing a lot of things. We're under the guise, guru. We're under a reality that's not real. We have media that gives us make-believe and fake news and all the time. You know what we end up doing? Because we realize the preponderance of it and how much of it's going on, we laugh about, oh, man, that's crazy. Hey, stupid, man, did you see what Trump said? Did you see what he did? That's not stupid, but that we laugh about it and call it stupid. He's impacting on what's being said by people who don't have good intentions and who have ignorance and arrogance as a background. He's impacting the future and the future generation, just like he's saying that's what he's doing. I'm trying to undo what Obama did because it's going to impact your future and your future generation. Do you want to live like that with a decision-making person who has the inability to do that? And the answer should be no. But I should determine that, not you should determine that for me. Leaders meet people where they are and lead them where they want to go. I'm going to say that again. True leadership meets you where you are and leads you where you want to go. You just got to figure it out. Not them. They don't figure it out for you. I'm not trying to figure out anything for you. You have to figure out what you want your life to look like, what legacy you want to leave, how you want to manage your finances. You have to decide that. All I can do is put you in front of information, show you the benefit that I've gotten from it, and ask you, do you want a similar benefit? And do you want to know what I did or know who I know that will help you do that? It's very simple. It's very easy. 504, we're coming back to you. But it's also easy not to do. Also easy not to get out of your own way. Well, I don't know. And he sounds good, but what about? And then what if, yeah, woulda, coulda, shoulda? They're alive, you know, but they're only alive as long as you keep them alive. And death is a part of life. In fact, the Quran says, die that you may live. Takes a negative, if you want to call it connotation. La ilaha illallah, La sharika la. Starts out letting you know that some things that maybe you've been introduced as just negative, but in this particular case, it is positively what you need to do in order to accomplish what you say you want to accomplish. And you cannot. There's only one God. You have to be clear. Your that one God is telling you that I'm only one God. I don't care what somebody said. They said it, they lied. It's not true. So I'm telling you what I said, and now you can believe what I said, or you can believe what they said. So what has he asked us to do? To keep it in on our plate. There's three things. Pay attention. Spend the time. Get on a diet. So you'll have the appetite that you need. Things are how we're going to conclude this program today. On those three things that we just mentioned. We're going to go to 504 first. And I think it's Brother Bilal again. So we'll have you go through the same process and share with us what you have to share by stating your name and where you're calling from.
So a poem that I wrote and I'd like to share.
Okay.
A spiritual joining is more than rational. Fighting the ills of our world is practical. Put one and one together, we get it solved. The enemy hopping around like a frog. Problem, do they solve? All good belong to the law of all accessible knowledge. Why not try it? Strategy might change today. You are stern, get out of the way. We all lie. Okay, try. Give it another try. You're full of tries and false alibis. The laws of nature are in our favor. What do you drink? Coffee, tea, what is better? You do. Try the truth. We know what to do. CWSC, Parent Company of American Movement 360, Know Me, and others. Changing the street. The happy as a law. This is not a coin talk. Lost man is lost. Young minds are in the reality. Navy bean soup, no more Fruit Loops. They have took time to change his mind. Oh Allah, give us good in this world and hereafter. Amen. That's it, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank Allah.
So we're going to take that time after hearing Brother Bilal's beautiful poem, thought-provoking poem, to invite you to call in and share a question, a comment about what you heard so far on financial literacy equals financial liberation. What thoughts do you have about finances, where you're at with your finances, where you want to be with your finances, and really the role that finances play, how we relate to a thing, is the relationship that we have with that thing. And some people may know. I know you know that money matters, you know. And how much it matters can be determined how much you find it going on in your conversation. You know, I find people talking about it, but talking about it in a way that they say it doesn't matter. I don't mean putting no emphasis on, I ain't trying to be rich, I ain't trying to do this, and I ain't trying to do that. Wealth creation, not being time-starved, is wealth. Having access to your time. I want to read something here from the same book. He asked the question, what is time? And he goes on to try to answer it in a way that I like, and there's many ways to answer it because it has many definitions. He said, what is time? Time is a unique resource, invisible, unalterable, and unstoppable. I'll read it again. Time is a unique resource. It's invisible, it's unalterable, and unstoppable. You and I must live on 86,400 seconds, or 1,440 minutes, or 24 hours each day. That equals 168 hours a week, approximately 72 720 hours per month, 8,640 hours per year, and 177,800 hours over the next 20 years, or about 629,200 hours in a lifetime, if a person lives to be 80. So why do I read that? I read it to give us a definition, but I also read it to give us a perspective. When something gets broken down like that, we look at it a little different. And you can see that I heard my mentor do this with the 86,400 seconds that we're given. He said, that's what's in your bank account every day you wake up. How much of you use it of that and how widely you use it will determine what you did with that day that you're not going to get back anymore. Get on down the line and say, I had a $20 bill this morning when I woke up. I took it with me to the store. How much of it did I bring back to the house after I took it? Am I conscious of that? Do I leave out the door? I'm going to go gold shopping down here. I got a list. But I get in the store and I get the things on my list. But I also get in this environment that's telling me, hey, shop, get this. You can't do it out there. Hey, we got a sale. Hey, we got a sample. And all of these forces are pulling at me. And if I don't have the principle, I don't know which principle it is. Unfortunately, I'm not that literate with this book that I'm reading about the principles. There's 47 of them. But I don't know which one this one is. But if I don't have self-discipline or self-control, they're going to get me. They may not get me today, but they'll get me tomorrow. Because I go in the same store, but I went in the store hungry. I made the cardinal mistake that I went into shopping, and I was hungry. Everything looks good. So I buy more than I should. I blur the line between a want and a need. That same line gets blurred, but with a greater consequences when you blur the line between a liability and an asset. An asset is something that gives a return after you make a certain investment. A liability doesn't give that return after you make an investment. It doesn't appreciate, it depreciates. So based on that, houses and cars are not the asset that we think they are, or that house. And the depreciation value for that same car and house that you have to keep pouring in, you can make the payment, the monthly payment, but it depreciated once it went back on the market, the house. The car depreciates once you drive off and get some dirt on the tires. I mean, not linear in its depreciation, exponentially. Thousands of dollars are taken off the value of that car and that house now that you bought it, occupied it, and it's been off the market. When it was on the market, it was valued at this. Now it's off the market, and you're trying to resell it. Don't have the same value. Or maybe if you've invested in it and you picked it up, it has a greater value. But then it's got to be related to the houses around it. So I'm not a real estate agent, so I'm not going to go into all that kind of stuff. But I'm just saying, it's not the asset that we think, especially nowadays. It used to get equity, and you could do things with it, and on and on and on. That's not so much true today. But it still does one thing. It is an asset to the person who's selling it. It's either a buyer's market or a seller's market. Or blah, 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 blah. So what am I saying? You're out of the equation. Even if you say, okay, well, I'm a buyer. Okay, good. 30 years, you're going to pay 5 to 10 times greater than what the house will work if you finance it. So instead of the $150,000 house that you bought, if you live long enough or if you pay it off in 30 years, you paid off $450,000. So what does that mean? That means that the house was sold at this price, and after you get to putting in all the interest and all the stuff and whatnot, you really paid that much for it because they extended the loan 30 years. 314, I'm coming to you. So that is the predicament that I'm saying we'll help and want to help you avoid by a number of ways. Eliminate one, get one third of your income back stronger by paying less taxes. See, you got to pay some taxes. But if you eliminate, you have less debt through inform coming to you. If you have less debt and less interest on managing that debt, now you eliminate another third. Not eliminated, but you reduced it. So you reduce the tax debt, eliminate the debit, the debt, and the credit card and debt and the service of that debt. Same thing with credit cards. If you make the minimum payment for 20 years, there was $1,500, you're going to pay back $8,000 or greater. I don't know what the number is. It's probably even higher than that. But you're going to pay 3 to 4 or 5 times greater than what it was. That's my whole point. But if you eliminate that debt and you pay your credit card off on a monthly basis like you can and should do by being disciplined and by living a lifestyle that's in your means, don't let that swipe that you can do entice you. Oh, but you can put it on credit. Yeah, I can. And I'll pay later, way more later. So what do I have to have? Delayed gratification. It has to get redefined. It ain't not buying something. It's not putting off buying something that you can't afford. It's putting off buying something that you can afford so you can get the term that you want to buy it on. I'm going to say that again, and I'll come in 314. It's not buying something that you won't. That's not delayed gratification. It's not buying something that you can afford, but you're not buying it now until you get the terms that you want to buy it on. It's not their terms, or you're their asset and your own liability. You change it around. I'm going to buy it so that I continue to be my asset. I'm making a wise move, and I'm delaying my gratification. I want it. I got the money to get it right now. But I'm not going to do it right now. I'm going to delay it, and I'm going to use it as incentive. If I really want it as bad as I say I want it, I will put myself in a position to buy it on my terms, and I will make it affordable, and therefore making my lifestyle an affordable lifestyle. That does not. When you buy things that you can't afford, you have to get in debt to get it. If you're having to get in debt to get it, you're paying too much for it. Wait till you can really afford it, and that's affordable lifestyle. I hope that clears up. 404 and 314, I see y'all calling. Coming 314, state your name and where you're calling from. My computer's a little bit slow, so give me a minute, but I'm punching you right now. So 314, state your name and where you're calling from and whether you have a question or a comment.
Yes, assalamu alaikum, Imam Nazim Pasha. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can.
Yes. Yes, and to the AM360 family, our listenership, Mark Shahid from the STL, the Gateway City, and the Show Me State of Missouri. Extended greetings of peace to all that are listening now and later. This is an excellent, excellent production. I don't always get opportunity on Sunday because usually I'm out of the house or at the masjid, and I will be leaving shortly here. But the information is so very substantive. I just had to call you in and commend you on such a much-needed production here on AM360 on, financial literacy. I think that the name of your show here is so needed. And, when you were talking, you said so many substantive things in terms of financial literacy. I remember when I was very young and I began my apprenticeship as a painter, decorator, the first union contractor that I worked for in serving my apprenticeship was from the old country of Italy. His name was Joseph Intrevia. And I remember him saying to me, he said, "Say, kid," he said, "let me give you some good advice and hopefully you're smart enough to accept it." He says, "Now," he says, "you're working for money." He says, "but if you're smart in life, then you'll make your money work for you." And of course, I was listening to what he was saying, and then he went on to say, "And also, know that your money can work faster than you can ever be, than you can ever work." And yeah. It's true. You see, it's true. So it was some good words of wisdom that I utilized, and also in raising my children, also passed that valuable words of wisdom on to them. Is entrepreneurs and as you say, good investors, but investing in yourself, investing in your future of your family, investing in your community. And even as a believer, you know, I love what you said in terms of taking something that may seemingly starts with a negation, as you did with the Shahada Tain, but it's very, very positive. And how so, from my perspective, is that it negates any and everything else in terms of worship or servitude. My grandmother, who only had a fifth grade education, also, I think, gave me something to chew on for the rest of my life. She used to say, she said, son, remember, you make money, don't allow money to make you. You know, so that's putting money in perspective. And for the believer, Imam Muhammad say that everything has a degree of importance, but the prioritization of where it is important, so it's realizing its purpose, its a means. And so for the believer can be a better servant. The more he have in terms of money to be utilized for the benefit of his family, his community, in terms of the servitude for the purpose in which Allah has created us, in terms of having a material reality, as Imam Muhammad said, the better off we will be as a community, but also in terms of servitude for humanity. I could go on with that, but this is an excellent, excellent production, my good friend Imam Pasha, on financial literacy and your ability to be able to make those connections in terms of everyday living, the practicality, the mentality that we should have, and the right and proper usage, so that we make money, but money don't make us, and it's not something that we serve or worship, but it becomes a means to the objectives that we actually have as human beings. So thank you so much, my brother. May Allah continue to richly bless you and this show on financial literacy. Peace be with you and all. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, and thank you too, Brother Moore. We're going to go to 404 here. But let me close out, Brother Moore, and go to 404. State your name and where you're calling from, and whether you have a question or a comment.
Assalamu alaikum, Imam Nazim Pasha. This is Sister Amina from Decatur, Georgia.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, I can. You hear you very well, very
clear. Yes, sir. I'm on route, you know, busy. I've been busy all week helping at Muhammad Schools. The first day of school is tomorrow, this week coming up, and I've been asked to help, so I gladly do it. But what I wanted to mention is that, you know, we as believers, and that's believers whether you're Muslim, Christian, Jew, or other, you know, we have to look at what Allah wants and intends for us to how to view money and financial literacy and wealth building, because that's the only way our communities are going to thrive. And really what we need to look at as a collective and as individuals as well, and I know this has served me well, to learn how to budget and not look at money as you know, the way this society looks at it, you know, just make it any way you can or any avenue you can and expect good results. You know, there was a situation where we've had a ta'lim recently in the masjid that I attend. Most times I attend Atlanta Masjid, but there's business development, Islamic Business Association, and there are financial literacy classes that have been offered, and that is wonderful. To me, the masjid should be full up. Everybody should be there to learn how to manage money and make it grow for the benefit of the community, and that's how Allah will give us what we need as a community of people. You know, as long as we still keep the same old ideas and the same old habits, and you know, just do it whatever way how we've been doing it. You know, things are just going to be like at a standstill. You know,
that's true.
So
that's true.
It is, and I thank Allah that I have practiced, you know, saving and budgeting. I just had a partner that was going the other way, you know, and all it did was destroy him, basically. So, you know, there's lessons learned from doing what Allah say, and definitely not doing the haram things, you know, gambling, playing lottery. You got some Muslims
right.
that do that, and that's a problem. You know,
right.
you sneaking and drinking and smoking like the people in the dunya, and that this is not going to serve us well if we follow
right.
these same habits. Getting in heavy debt, is like slavery.
Right, it's true.
Heavily debt. We don't have to. I mean, it's not necessary to have 5, 10 credit cards.
Right.
And you live beyond your means and you can't pay it. And then the end of the
right.
month, you know, it's like you're pulling your hair out. You know, how am I going to do this? And stressing
exactly.
yourself. That's slavery. That's modern day
right.
slavery. You know,
that's
so
true.
I have yet to ever, all I have is a debit with my benefits. I have yet to get anybody's credit card. Never
right.
will I get a credit card. And I don't want to owe anybody other than, you know, where I live, and I'm working on that, getting my own business, because I have a focus and intention. I will be wealthy before Allah calls me. Whether I marry again or not, that's my goal, and I already know how I want to do it. I want to do it a hell of a way. We need personal care for our elderly in the community, and we need centers and institutions for our youth and young adults. And then they have healthy ways to, and this is one of the things Muhammad Schools was talking about. We had the back to school rally yesterday, and all the staff and everybody's pumped up and, you know, ready to go. So alhamdulillah, but I just had to call and say that. Like I said, I'm on route. Sister Amina's on the move again.
Alhamdulillah.
So I just had to call in and say that, and this is excellent. We need the financial literacy. I am looking at trying to do or start or join an investment club, one way or the other. Sister Amina's going to be rich, and I don't have to be. You know, because I'm the type of person, I will budget, and I will not get anybody's credit card or slavery card. I'm not going to do it. I will not do it. So I just wanted to say that. I know, you know, they're necessary for some people to make purchases of their professionals, or, you know, they go out of town and they have to pay for, you know, hotel room or whatever, but, you know, that still should be limited. Only
exactly.
when needed. Only
yes,
when
yes,
needed.
Yes.
So, inshallah,
we just
got
4 minutes into the program. Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you very much, Sister Amina.
Yes.
Okay, so what we're going to do is transition here. We're going to play a couple of infomercials. We're going to have a closing note that we want to close on and make it a wrap. So we're going to have this is Imam Nazi and Pasha, Islam-based conversations, and we'll be right back after this informational break.
Have you ever heard the phrase, don't drink and drive? Just imagine the healthcare costs and the lives or the families and marriages and careers that maybe, just maybe, could have been saved if we just changed the sentence to two words instead of four, don't drink. A public service message from American Muslim 360 and CWSC.
Would you rather be sinless or would you rather sin less? One's impossible to achieve and the other, well, our Lord doesn't ask us to attempt the impossible. Want to know more? Say your prayers. A public service message from the CWSC and AM 360.
Okay, we're back with about 90 seconds left. We want to thank Allah for your presence, and we thank Allah for my presence to be back after 2 weeks. We hope you heard something that really has been of a benefit. I want to stand by my claim to not be the message but the messenger, and I say that with all humility. I thank Allah for being on this side of the ground, but like Sister Amina was saying, there are certain goals you should set for yourself. Make it known, make it public, but have it private as an ambition and a goal, and be able to lead by example. So we hope that's what you heard. We hope that something, like I said before, resonated with you, maybe not today, but maybe tomorrow. And know for sure that we're happy to be back, and we hope to be back and bringing the same kind of programs that add value to your life. That's what it's all about. If we can do that, we'll give ourselves a little bit of an applause and say mission accomplished, because it's not mission impossible. No matter what the odds say, no matter what the law averages say, it's not true. It's not a matter of beating them. It's a matter of realizing that man is saying that. Allah didn't do that. Now, there's a law now. Law averages and the odds, all that's all in the play. But he didn't put it there to stop anybody. That's what I'm saying. It's not there, and it's not designed to be able to stop you if you really want. Because on the other side of that, there's a saying that says, where there's a will, there's a way. And remember, Ashley, those are words, and words make people. You define, learn, and do, and what you want will happen for you. Inshallah. We have to qualify that. We do it like we're the ones who are going to get responsible. But we give Allah something to bless, we know that we'll be blessed if he blesses us. And we want what he wants for us. So we say that prayer. We offer that little dua. We ask that you hopefully will go safe. We hope to be back here with you again next week, inshallah. This has been Imam Nazim Pasha, Islam-based conversations. And we'll say that the clock on the wall says it's time to go.